Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling well. This is podcast 5 of, I guess it's probably going to be 6 today. I think at one point it was 7. My brain is mush. These teams all, you know, look the same. They're all not the Patriots. That's kind of what I figured out.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Every team is just not the Patriots.
Yeah, unfortunately. So we got a episode today where we're discussing the team where there's the biggest gap between you and me in our preseason power rankings. The biggest. Carolina Panthers.
How big's the gap?
12.
I literally don't even know if I'm higher than – I assume you're high and I'm not, but I don't even remember.
So there was a lot of thought put in yours. You have the Panthers at number 11. I have the Panthers at number 23.
Oh, so you're a buffoon. Okay. Problem solved.
Wait, hold on. I'm a buffoon. You just thought you were on the other side 5 seconds ago.
Well, I thought maybe I had them at like 15 and you were had them at 3 or something. I don't know.
So basically, you know, 2 years ago, they were the best team in the league. Last year, they were in the mid-20s or so. I think that 2 years ago was the anomaly and last year is more predictive. I think they're a little better than that. But you think – I mean, I don't know what you think. What do you think?
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, let's introduce our guests, then we could really get into it. But
okay.
I mean, I'm right and you're wrong. It's like that's the short answer. And I know, unlike some other podcasts where I was optimistic, you were pessimistic, and the guest went with you. I have a feeling that the guest is going to be on my side here. But let's.
Normally you expect the guests to be homers. So far they've been on my side. But Tony Dunn from the Carolina Cat Chronicles podcast is here. So Tony, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey man, thanks for having me, guys.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, you heard our little intro there. We have a big disagreement about this team. I just think I look at the Panthers as, you know, the 15-1 team just seemed, you know, first of all, any 15-1 team is anomalous sort of by definition. I think they're better than 6-10. I think they're probably about a 500 team. I think they're about 8-8 or so. But I just, you know, what evidence do we have that, oh, well, really they're 15-1 and last year's the year that, you know, was unusual?
Well, like you said, 15-1 is anomalous for any team, and I don't think that you know, when you put that standard up there, of course, everybody's going to fall short. I think 6-10 was such a drop off that it's, you know, it's going to off put everybody in the entire that isn't everybody, even Panther fans, into thinking that you can bounce back quickly. But, you know, there were a lot of circumstances that led to that drop off and a ton of injury on that team and a lot of, you know, complacency in the management, which led to, in some ways, the general manager recently getting fired, surprisingly getting fired. But I would say this is that I think that the Panthers realistically can be 10-6. They got a great schedule. I mean, they could start out 4-0 and in that alone. And there's some good reasons that there are some things to be optimistic about the team.
And just to be clear, the same way that the Panthers, you know, collapsed last season after having lost Super Bowl, I think the Falcons are going to do the same thing. So I think they're 8-8, but I think they're as good as any team in the division. I don't think the line is much better than them. But let's start with the GM. So Dave Gettleman, they fire him at literally the last second. They bring back Marty Herney, who was a terrible GM the first time, you know, would spend millions of dollars on backup running backs. I mean, how can you be confident in him with, you know, sort of the job he did last time?
Well, I'm kind of the oddball when it comes to Herney. Look, a lot of Panther fans are still mad at Herney because the last couple of years he had some big problems. And like you said, they paid two running backs, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. And the problem is they weren't backup running backs. It's just they both paid them as starters. And you really can't invest. You can't pay two starting running backs starting money on a team when the salary cap was only like $108 million at the time. And these guys were, you know, just chewing up like 17% of the cap or some crazy number like that. So, but we do forget this is that Marty Herney did put together the 2003 Super Bowl roster just 2 years after the team had gone 2-14, I believe, or 1-15. They were 1-15 2 years earlier, and they got to the Super Bowl in 2003. And they did make the playoffs two more times, NFC champions, one more, or the NFC championship in 2008, as well as, I think, there was one other year. Now, they did tank. Here's the thing. So, I mean, I don't think that Marty Herney is fantastic, but I do think the last couple of years gave him a really bad rap. But he's an interim guy. There's a great, really, the talent that Dave Gettleman built is really phenomenal on this team in a lot of places. Now, there are some real weaknesses. But I think that's what I would say is, look, we have a core talent. We got a quarterback. We've got some of the best defensive players in the league, and I think you can build around that.
So why was he fired then?
He was fired because he didn't have good people skills, it turns out. Yeah. And you know, he's really loved by Panther fans, and I'm one of those guys that was I'm still a fan of Dave Gettleman. He did a lot of things right. How can you be upset with a guy that had like a 60% winning percentage with this team? But it looks like he got something in his head sometimes, and he wouldn't budge. And it looks as if this had something to do with Greg Olson, Thomas Davis, and these guys are beloved by our owner, right? Jerry Richardson. And Jerry Richardson is like a player's guy. He's a former NFL player. He's the one that made the famous catch in the Ice Bowl, like the touchdown catch in the Super Bowl. And he likes to take care of his guys. And he's always had his favorites, like his boys. And that's part of the reason that Herney took the fall the first time is because his guys, you know, he said, look, we got to hook these guys up because I screwed them in the lockout year in 2010 when they're redoing the CBA. And Jerry Richardson was, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but he was the one that was battling back and forth with, I think it was Drew Brees at the time and Tom Brady about like, you know, and he really, look, the Panthers tanked on purpose in 2010. They cut bait and they told the guys, they said, hold, you know, wait out. And they basically rewarded these guys for sticking it out with the team. And so that's really what it comes down to. He didn't want to, obviously had something to do with Greg Olson and with Thomas Davis.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's talk about Cam for a second. So obviously, you know, when you talk about regression, you have to start with him. You know, Cam completed 52.9% of his passes last year, which is, I mean, just insane. Like Derek Anderson, you know, his corpse completed 68% in mop-up duty. Do you think that's the real Cam? You know, 14 interceptions,
Not at all. I think here is that when you look at that percentage, and sure, it seems atrocious. But when you look, if you really kind of delve into what the Panthers do and how their offense ran, you know, there was zero speed with the receivers. I mean, nuns. And your fastest guy on the team was Ted Ginn Jr., who can't catch anything. Right, I mean, if you wait until you talk to whoever you're going to talk about with the Saints, just ask them whether they think about Ted Ginn Jr. already, and he's already dropping touchdowns. So, but the thing is that the way the Panthers' offense was being called was much. Oh, they had a lot of long developing routes. You had receivers who weren't getting any separation at all, and so these are low percentage throws that they're calling. So, you know, you're saying run 20 yards downfield with no offensive line. And hope that Cam can put it right in on a dime. So I think that, look, his Cam did not have a good year.
Why is that going to change, though, Tony? Why, like, you know, the receivers, Kelvin Benjamin, who I think now, because he missed that year, we almost overrated him because he came back and, you know, he's a good number two, but I don't think he's necessarily a number one receiver. Devin Funchess was one of the worst receivers in football last year.
Yeah, he's terrible.
But again, you don't have, there's not a lot of depth. You know, so you drafted the kid from Brooklyn, Curtis Samuel. How's he looking so far?
We have no idea. He hasn't played at all. He's had a hamstring injury, so he's been sidelined all throughout training camp.
I mean, is there somebody I'm missing who might be?
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey.
Right. Well, Christian he's a running McCaffrey. Back, but yeah.
Right. Right. And I think I think hopefully that what that's going to do is just change some of the things the Panthers can do offensively, so where they don't just have, because the only way Kelvin Benjamin or Devin Funchess can win is to go 10 yards down one-on-one and use their size. You know, they can't run these intermediary routes. And so I guess there's some other guys that we're hopeful of, Damir Bird being one, and he had a huge game, his first preseason game. But you're right, is that how is that going to change? And you're just hoping that the running game and what Christian McCaffrey can do gets that done.
Right, you're relying on, you know, maybe the best pass-catching tight end and, you know, I mean, it's obviously too early to say this, but maybe an elite pass-catching RB. By the way, Greg Olsen, this is a crazy stat. First tight end ever to have three straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons. That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such an unimpressive stat that, like, nobody's ever done it.
Well, he also has had the most targets since 2011 out of anybody in the entire NFL or something like that.
That's wild.
Wow.
It should continue this year as long as he's healthy, honestly.
Can I just say, as a Vikings fan, the fact that you thought that Matt Khalil is the solution at left tackle, like, I know his brother's good for you guys, but Matt Khalil is such a bad player. Cam is already abused, you know, more than just about any quarterback in the league. Matt Khalil should not be protecting his blind side.
You know, the irony of that is that the guy who was protecting his blind side last year is now your starting right tackle.
Yeah. But at least we have him on
Mike
the right
Rimmers,
side.
And he's terrible. He's awful.
Oh, well, we just swapped. Yeah.
Yeah. And we paid a lot of money for Matt Khalil. Is that I think this is that what you're hoping for is sometimes a change in scenery does a lot. But Matt Khalil was injured and missed an entire season, and the Panthers are banking on it that he can do it. And look, in 2015, here's the difference, guys. And another thing you said, why did 2016? Which one are we going to be? You probably just brought up, are we going to be 2015 Panthers or 2016? You just nailed it. Is it depends on if Matt Khalil plays like Mike Remmers or Michael Orr in 2015. Because if we get a mediocre left tackle or better, Cam can get it done. But when you had
Cam
zero
only ran
protection,
for 4 yards per carry last year, which is crazy bad for a running quarterback.
Yeah, well, he didn't run that much. He was, you know, had a concussion for two games, and he was just getting beat up. The whole Panthers, their whole running attack went just flip flopped. If you pull up the 2015 stats, and I don't have them in front of me, but I think we were like second or third in the league in rushing, and then last year you go to 28 or something. So, like, the Panthers couldn't do anything on offense, and I think that while Cam didn't have a good year, I think it had a lot less to do with him than it did with just the entire team. I mean, by the end of the year, we were starting like backups across the entire offensive line.
Yeah, Matt, by the way, Khalil, not just did they sign him and give him the left tackle gig, they gave him $25 million guaranteed.
As a Vikings fan, it made no sense. It was insane.
Football Focus called it the worst move of the offseason.
Yeah, mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I guess this is that sometimes you just have to do whatever the market demands, and what's the other option?
I can tell you what the market is. Matt, the Vikings had the worst or second worst offensive line each of the last 2 years. Khalil was injured for part of that, but when he was healthy, he was not part of the solution. So he should be fighting for a job. He should not be getting, you know, guaranteed money.
And
like Orr
is not is Orr making that team or no?
No, I think Orr Khalil replaced done. Orr. Yeah, Orr's done.
He's done. He got a concussion in
Did
week.
They cut him?
Three against the Vikings, and he had been in the concussion protocol for since last year of week three. No, he's now, he got an injury settlement. He showed up to camp, and he still could not pass the concussion protocol over a year, almost a year later.
Uh-huh. All right, can we talk about the defense for a second?
Yeah.
You know, you talked about how you guys have stars on your defense. You know, what I see is that Julius Peppers and Captain Mullen, another ex-Viking, by the way, who were good for the Panthers in, like, 2011, I guess now that Marty Herney's in charge again, he's like, oh, let's bring these guys back. But, like, Julius Peppers is ancient. If he can give you anything, it'll be a shock. And Captain Munnerlin, best case scenario, he's a below-average nickel cornerback at this point.
No way. He was good for you guys. He was good in Minnesota.
Yeah, but he's very old.
Not even 30. He's
28.
He's a little guy. He is a little guy. He does get hurt, but I don't think that's a big problem. And by the way, like, yes, they signed Peppers, who's 37, which is like 82 now in the NFL. Nobody's 37 anymore outside the quarterbacks.
I think they just hired him. They just signed him so he could retire in a Panthers uniform.
No way. All right, look, Peppers grew up 30 minutes down the road from where I live at, and he was drafted in 2001, and he's unlike any NFL player that you've probably ever witnessed physically. Is that age, while that might be 82 years in football life, it's not for a titan like Julius Peppers. He's just a freak, dude. But here's the thing: is
there's
that
so many
like
good players in that front seven, Tony? Right? He's
yeah. He had 7.5 sacks last year. 36 years old. He had 7.5 last sacks, and he was playing outside linebacker.
They have guys you've never heard of who had like 8-9 last year. Mario Addison. Nobody knows who he is. He had like 9 in 14 yep. games.
Listen, I agree that Julius Peppers is a beast.
Like they've got some legitimate
yeah.
players.
Is that we got the best defensive really tackle good. In the league right now? Now that Aaron Donald is threatened not to play at all, and that's K1 Short. So right, what you have is you've got a front seven that really I think this is the Panthers' defense. Given if they can stay healthy, specifically in the secondary, because there's zero depth outside the guys that they are hoping are going to start, and there's not even a lot of experience at corner. They could be a top five defense, and I think if they stay healthy, they could be the number one defense in the league.
All right, well, let's hold your horses for a second. Okay. You know, we talked quite a bit about the offense, and the offense, you know, swooned a little bit last year. Obviously, Cam went from 50 touchdowns to less than half of that. But the real difference between 15 and 16 was the defense. The defense dropped far, far farther than the offense did. In points, giving up 26th. In yards, giving up, I think, like 23rd, 22nd, something like that. What were they in DVOA? Akiva, do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head, but they weren't good.
All right, but the point is they dropped from an elite defense right. to a truly, truly terrible defense. And you're going to say that they, from a bottom six or seven defense, they're going to be the number one defense in the league based on what? Captain okay. Munderland and Julius Peppers?
No, not at all. All right, so a couple of things to explain why they were so bad to start the season, right, is that if you go back and look at the season, it was the first 7 weeks they were terrible. And it was their look, Dave Gettleman, part of the reason he let Josh Norman, he rescinded the franchise tag on Josh Norman last year. So then he goes and drafts three corners, one out of Samford. Our starting corners, all of the starters last year in the secondary were rookies. And then you lose Luke Kuechly to concussion. You got nicked up, and our front four was not as nasty as it could be this year, I think. So I think this is, like I said, this all depends on health, and it ultimately depends on this. This defense will be as good as the corners will take it. And you've got two corners that were rookies last year. They had to learn by trial by fire. And it was really unfair position that the Panthers put them in. And that's one of the reasons I think that led to Dave Gettleman's ultimate firing, is going back to how he handled the Norman thing.
So, but why was he fired when he was fired then, if it had to do with Josh Norman?
Because I think, no, I'm just saying that it was a pattern of behavior that Norman showed. Look, it started with Steve Smith. It then continued with, I mean, really the reason we had no left tackle goes back to Jordan Gross, who Dave Gettleman ran out the door his first day he got there. Jordan Gross said he would have played another year had Dave Gettleman not been such a jerk in the negotiation process. And then you cut Steve Smith. Steve Smith is still talking junk about the Panthers about it. So I think Jerry Richardson said, look, we cannot have Dave Gettleman screw up another thing among one of the most popular players, you know, these kind of heroes among fan culture. So I guess, yeah, look, I'm saying this is I think the Panthers defense can make a comeback, and I think Julius Peppers brings a ton. But like it all depends on injuries. And look, the nickel corner position in this league, where you have teams running three receiver sets almost all the time, go down every dang team, and they're playing zone defense. They're playing a nickel, five cornerbacks out there most of the time. And that's actually one of the most difficult positions to play, I think, in the NFL. So I'm hoping that Captain Munderland gets it done.
What's your take? You know, again, I have the Panthers at 23. Keith has them at 11. Where would you put them on your preseason power rankings?
I don't know. I'm not gonna. I don't do all 32 teams. I think the Panthers in a good year are gonna go 10-6, 11-5, and like you said, and I think in a bad year, in a rough year, they're a 7-9 team. I just don't rank all 32 teams. I would say this is the Panthers. You know, they're gonna have to earn everything. And that's good for the Panthers. You know, the Panthers have always played better when they've been under the radar, when the expectations aren't there. It's going to be tough, though. You're in a division where you've got the Super Bowl, well, losers, right? You get the Atlanta Falcons, who, I mean, by all standards, look, they got a great, they got a good head coach in Dan Quinn. And then you got the Tampa Bay Bucks, who have just loaded up. There's all the talent. I won't trust it, though, until I actually see it. But so there's a lot of competition there, but I think there's a lot of opportunity. When you've got Cam Newton and you've got Luke Kuechly and you've got Thomas Davis and you've got Shaq, we got the best linebacker core in the league. There's potential there, but it could also be disastrous as well.
Yeah, you know, I had mentioned on our podcast, The Saints, that 2 years ago I was in New Orleans in December for that crazy Panthers comeback win at New Orleans.
Right.
I think it was like 41-38. You know, and that was obviously at that point, I think the Panthers were, 12-0 or 13-0, something like that. You know, and then the year before that, in 2014, I remember the Vikings destroyed the Panthers in week 7 or 6 or whatever it was. And then from that, and then that dropped the Panthers to like 3-8-1. And then they won the rest of their games to make the playoffs in a crappy division. You know, I the over-under for the Panthers is 9, which surprised me. It's a little bit high, but I guess people are, you know, relying more on 2015 than 2016. So would you go over or under an over-under of 9?
This is lame. I'm going to say, gosh, push. Right. No, I'll take – I mean, I look, this is what I said when before, you know, I think the Panthers are 10-16 this year. But I think a lot of that has to do with schedule as well because, look, I mean, we play the Bills. We play San Francisco. Let me pull up the schedule. It's really – we got some cupcakes. The first, if we don't start out like 3-0, the Panthers
there's a great advantage to, you know, going 6-10 instead of 15-1 in terms of the schedule.
Right, that's right. So, yeah, we play the 49ers, the Bills, the Saints, and it's not until and then you got the Patriots and the Lions. But you got some teams where we get the Jets next year. We get the Vikings. I think we can win those games.
Yeah. You know, their schedule, I think it probably gets a little harder in December. That's where you play Vikings, Packers, Bucks, and then add the Falcons you end the season. But, I don't think, and I've been wrong each of the last 2 years when I said this about the NFC South, so maybe I'll be wrong this year, but I don't think, I think 9 wins and certainly 10 would win that division. I don't think that, I think Atlanta's going to fall back a little bit.
I agree.
I think it's a pretty close division. A lot of offense in the division. It's tough to see, you know, the defense. Certainly, you know, you're confident in your defense, but New Orleans has no defense, obviously. Atlanta is, again, certainly a more offense than defense team, and Tampa probably as well. So, you know, there'll be at least some exciting high-scoring games in this division. All right, so we glossed over McCaffrey for a second, but, you know, Christian McCaffrey, people are expecting him to, you know, have 75 receptions out of the backfield. What are your thoughts?
I think whatever you think Christian McCaffrey is going to do, he's going to do more.
Oh. And, so 80, yeah. 85.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is, you know, I was suspicious. I was hesitant because there's a couple of people, you know, we roll in those kind of crazy Panther circles. And there was a couple of guys that were so hardcore McCaffrey. And you're like, well, when he gets with NFL speed, things, you know, it's not going to be as easy. But this guy just has it. I mean, he just looks different on the field is what than everybody else, as one Panther reporter said the other day. I mean, look, he's just crushed it against Tennessee when nobody else was doing anything. He just has so much. He can get, once you get the ball in his hands, he can get that first 10 steps. That speed is so quick. I mean, it's going to be impossible to stop him. Is if he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be electrifying.
All right, so you're obviously very confident in him. How early would you recommend people take him in fantasy, then, the way you're hyping him up?
I know. It's crazy. And I would say that I think everybody's been saying he's going late second. I just feel like this is, man, is that you're not going to really miss, you know? So I would be comfortable taking him anywhere in the second round.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're definitely slurping the Kool-Aid on McCaffrey, at least.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, and look, that's because I fought it, too, for so long. I was like, there's no way it's going to be this easy. But, man, everywhere he goes, he just looks amazing. I mean, it's just insane. It's insane. Go watch it. Just listen to me now. Believe me later. The dude's just going to – the more times you get the ball in his hand, he's just not going to be able to – if you get him in any space, it's over.
All right, so Akiva's having – technical issues at the moment.
He's watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, is that what it is? He wants to interrupted the episode. Yeah, so we're just going behind the curtain. We're recording this on Sunday night. We delayed a few minutes for me to end that episode. You know, by the time this is out, anybody who watches the show will have known what happens. But it was really hard for me to record this without discussing it. But Akiva was in the middle of the episode and paused it to record this. So, yeah, maybe that's his excuse for the technology failing.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I know that Akiva would want me to do this, even though I'm against it. So we're going to play the roster game now. So... you know, Tony, give me a number between 1 and 100.
77.
All right, 77. For some reason, that seems to be a popular number. People keep picking 77. All right, for the Panthers, tell me who Zach Sanchez is.
Zach Sanchez is a nickel corner out of Oklahoma State, I believe. Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. He was drafted in that weird mess that Dave Gettleman did after he rescinded the franchise tag, and Josh Norman goes and drafts three back-to-back corners, and then he couldn't even make the team. He sucks.
Okay.
that's why we got Captain Munnerlyn.
For some reason, when I Googled him, one of the top hits is Panthers cornerback Zach Sanchez reacts to Aaron Hernandez tragedy. I'm not sure why some random backup on Carolina is being asked about, you know, a murderer from the Patriots, but
oh my gosh.
Yeah, Zach's gotta perform on the field a little bit so that he can get that off his first page when you Google him, because yeah. That's not doing him any
favors. He might not make the team this year.
All right, so he's got bigger problems than his reaction to Aaron Hernandez. All right, so, you know, Tony, thanks for joining us. That's your thoughts on the Panthers. You know, we haven't yet spoken to our Falcons fan. We did speak to our Saints fan, and our Bucks fan is coming up as well. I think this is going to be an interesting division. There's no terrible team in this division unless, you know, Drew Brees just falls off a cliff or something. But again, I don't think there's any truly phenomenal team either. I think the Falcons are, you know, I don't know if Matt Ryan is going to be an MVP again out of nowhere, which, you know, which is not sort of his previous career up till last season. So the Panthers definitely should be in the playoff race. And, you know, you will be hosting the Vikings in December. So hopefully that game means something for both teams. And if so, maybe we'll bring you back on the podcast at that point.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, Tony. So Carolina Cat Chronicles is your podcast. What else do you have for us to plug?
Go to CarolinaCatChronicles.com and you can follow me on Twitter at @Cat_Chronicles.
All right, Cat_Chronicles on Twitter. Tony, thanks so much, and good luck this season.
Yeah, man, have a good one.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I need someone to remind me who I am. Oh, Carolina Cat. Franklin Street, a he's not Buzz, a house band beat. It was a summer heat dragging me to a fifth year fall. It was class's gift, cause a room couldn't teach what we learned 3 days on Wrightsville Beach. With my high school love, short hair and that sweet hometown southern draw. That tobacco town where I grew up, the tailgate down on a jacked up truck, a ring we earned cause we own that state, a tombstone with my daddy's name. Now this six string dream on a crazy course has got my compass losing north, and I need someone to remind me who I am. Yeah, Carolina. Two time zones, 10 states away. Another night, another show to play. Well, hey, Mr. Taylor, she ain't only on your mind. That tobacco town where I grew up, a tailgate down on a jacked up truck, a ring we earned cause we own that state, a tombstone with my daddy's name. This six string dream on a crate.